Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance. Tonight, Paul Lucas in Lost Horizon. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance with your favorite stars in your favorite stories and plays. And here is your host to tell you about tonight's presentation, James Hilton's celebrated story, Lost Horizon, starring Paul Lucas.
Good evening. This story concerns Hugh Conway and the incredible adventure that befell him.
Every man dreams of a Shangri-La. Not every man is lucky enough to find one. We were well on our way by plane from India across the towering, jagged Himalayas when I first realized that the plane was not being flown by Fenner, the young British captain who had been introduced to us as our pilot. I said nothing to my young American companion, Charles Mallinson, who was making his first hop on his long way home. But he realized the situation soon enough, and when the plane suddenly began to descend, he got a little panicky.
He's going down. Conway, look. He can't land down there. The man's crazy. We'll be killed.
There's a small plateau. He can land there if he's a good pilot. Look, it's such bright moonlight, you can see plainly.
Well, why should he want to land there? The fellow's got some nerve running off at us like this anyhow. Do you think the American or the British embassies are going to stand for it?
He seems to have done it. Hold tight. Here we go. Well, we are here.
Well, come on. Let's go see what's up with that pilot.
All right.
Well, he's slumped over the board.
Here, let me get to him. He's dead.
Dead?
It might have been a heart attack. Can you fly a plane, Mallinson?
No. And this one's damaged anyhow.
Well, let's get out and see where we are.
Hey, Conway. Look. Look over here. No, over here to the right. Look.
I turned, following his gaze, to the end of the valley, and there, standing proud and magnificent, was the most incredible mountain I'd ever seen in my life. An almost perfect cone of snow, so radiant, so serenely poised, that for a moment it didn't seem real at all. And then as I stared, I saw what Mallinson had been pointing at. There were shadows moving down the slopes.
Looks like men, doesn't it?
Yes. They arrived in the morning. A dozen peasants carrying a richly gowned Chinese gentleman in a hooded chair.
Good morning. I am from the Lamasery of Shangri-La. My name is Cheng. I regret that you have had an accident. We will be glad to make you welcome at Shangri-La.
Thanks. We won't stay long. We'd like to hire some of your men to help us on our journey back. We want to return to civilization as soon as possible.
I can assure you, Mr. Mallinson, that you will be honorably treated and that ultimately you will not regret this accident.
You're very kind, Mr. Cheng. If you would be so good as to tell me, what is the name of that mountain?
It is called Karakal. That means blue moon, Mr. Conway. It is over 28,000 feet high.
It looks like a doorway to heaven. It looks as though it guards something very beautiful.
It guards the Lamasery of Shangri-La. And that, if I may say so, is the most of heaven one could expect to find on earth.
It was a long, hard journey across that mountain. The ascent was steep, the air bitterly cold. But we stepped out of the mountain mist into clear, sunny air. And there, just below us, was the Lamasery of Shangri-La. There was the Lamasery, and behind it, a green, green valley, radiant with sun and flowers and bright houses. And a great and sudden happiness welled up inside me. And I thought, why, this is like coming home.
You have reached the end of your journey, Mr. Conway?
Yes. It seems that I have.
Mr. Conway, I know you are weary. You and Mr. Mallinson will want to rest and bathe before dinner.
The room he showed me was so beautifully appointed that it would have been done credit to a king. I bathed and changed into some robes that were brought me, and Then I wandered into the courtyard. I could hear music and stole towards it. And there, sitting at a harp, was the girl I had always searched for and never hoped to find. She looked up as she played and smiled. And I, who had never been in love, was hopelessly, completely, forever in love from that moment.
Are you fond of this concerto, Mr. Conway?
You know my name.
Of course. We've been expecting you for some time. Come, let me show you about the gardens.
You were expecting me?
Of course.
Well, that's very strange indeed, since I didn't expect to come here. What is your name?
Lotzen.
I like it. It is like music. There are a lot of questions I would like to ask you about Shangri-La. Is that permissible?
Yes. But you'll have plenty of time to find out all the things you want to know.
Oh, I'm afraid not. We are only visitors. We'll be leaving as soon as Mr. Chang can arrange for porters.
Would you not like to stay here? They tell me there's a peace and beauty here that's unequaled any place else in the world.
I think that is quite true. But this is not my world.
Perhaps this is better than your world. Here we have only the good things of the world. Music and books, paintings, sculpture. Have you ever walked in a garden quite like this?
Never. And never have I walked with a girl quite like you. You are very beautiful.
All things at Shangri-La are beautiful.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Conway. Good evening, Lutzen.
Good evening. Excuse me, Mr. Conway. We will meet again later.
She even walks like music.
So already you are in love with Lutzen?
Oh, I didn't know it was that obvious, Mr. Chang.
My dear man, it is written all over you.
How many people live in this valley down there?
Several thousand. They are all under the guidance of the Lemissary.
And how are they governed?
Very simply. We rule with moderate strictness, and in return we are satisfied with moderate obedience. And our people are most happy. You will see that as time passes.
As time passes? You don't seem to understand. Both Mr. Marinson and I must continue on our way as soon as possible.
Unfortunately, that is not in my hands.
Well, perhaps some of the village people will guide us.
No, none of the village people will go beyond the mountain. But come, we must get into dinner, Mr. Conway. Mr. Mellison is waiting. Next week, I am happy to tell you, you are to have a most signal honor. You will meet the High Lama of Shangri-La.
Next week? Well, that's really very nice.
Nice? It is one of the greatest honors that can come to a man. You see, the High Lama meets very few people. And after you have talked to him, you will know why you were brought to Shangri-La.
Then it wasn't an accident. This was all deliberately planned.
After you have talked with the High Lama, all the things that have puzzled you will be made clear.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Sometimes romance grows slowly like a bud coming into flower. Sometimes it hits you all of a sudden and you're struck right in the heart. Yet a little breath of trouble can ruin a romance of long standing as well as love at first sight. Make up your mind that you won't let any breath of trouble, I mean unpleasant breath, cool your romance. What to do? Why, it's very simple. Just brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Yes, night and morning and before every date, because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasant breath that originates in the mouth. And let me tell you, no dentifrice at any price will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Reason enough, wouldn't you say, to buy Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Why not get it tonight?
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Now the second act of Lost Horizon, starring Paul Lucas as Hugh Conway.
The week that followed our unexpected arrival at Shangri-La was a strange week. And yet, it was the most beautiful week I have ever lived. I was so occupied, I hardly realized Mellison was at Shangri-La too. It was a week of bright color, of laughter that flashed vividly through the village streets, of browsing in the rich libraries among books I had never had time to read, of walking in the cool, star-clustered night, thinking of Lo Tsen, thinking and dreaming of nothing but Lo Tsen. And my thoughts were fire, and my thoughts were tears. And I knew that to leave her, to lose her, would be to be lonely forever. And so the week passed. And at the end of it, I met the Dalai Lama.
Sit down, Mr. Conway. I trust you have been comfortable at Shangri-La since your arrival.
Thank you. I've been most comfortable.
I want to tell you a little about Shangri-La. It was established many years ago by a Father Perrault. He came here in 1743 when he was 53 years old. During long hours of study and contemplation, he discovered a great secret about a certain drug that grew in the valley. He learned how to prolong life.
Forever?
Not forever, for we are all mortal. But he learned how to lengthen the span of life. He shared that secret with his monks and with all the people who lived in the Lamasery.
All the people?
Ah, you are thinking of Lo Tsen. Lo Tsen came to us in 1884. She was 18.
18 then? That is impossible.
No. She was on her way to her wedding when her carriers lost their way in the mountains. Fortunately, our people found her and brought her here.
And what would happen to her if she left the valley?
She would quickly assume her natural age, and she would die.
Did she want to stay when she first came?
No, but no stranger who comes to Shangri-La is ever permitted to leave, Mr. Conway.
No one is permitted to leave. You surely do not expect to keep Mellinson and me here.
We have much to offer a man of your intelligence, Mr. Conway. In time, you, like everyone else who has come, will be grateful.
Has no one ever escaped?
A few who have been foolish enough to try have all perished in the mountains beyond Shangri-La. Mr. Conway, perhaps I should tell you quite frankly that the pilot who brought you here was one of our people. He was acting upon my orders.
You deliberately brought me here? Why?
Because I am going to die, Mr. Conway, and I wish to place the heritage and the destiny of Shangri-La in your hands.
In my hands.
I know men. I've followed your life with great interest. I've read much about you. I have pictures of you which I have studied. And I feel sure that I am not mistaken in you, my son.
It is a great honor, but not one I am sure I want. It is incredible. I can hardly believe it.
The fact that you were kidnapped and brought here?
No. The fact that you are still alive, Father Perrault. I left the High Lama's presence. I walked slowly out in the garden, dazed, shocked, completely bewildered. I walked out into the garden and looked down where the village gleamed like a silver jewel in the moonlight. And gradually my thoughts began to resolve and take shape. And I knew why I had felt that I was coming home the first time I saw Shangri-La. And for the first time in my life, I felt completely happy, completely satisfied, and completely at peace. Here was where I belonged. Here was my kingdom. I don't know how long I had been standing there when I felt someone touch my arm. I turned around and there was Mellinson.
Come back to the room, will you, Conway? I've got to talk to you right away. I can't believe it. You don't mean you want to stay here.
I do want to stay here. Very much. And besides, it is useless to try to leave.
Oh, well, that's where you're wrong. The porters that bring things from the outside world are just over the mountain now. If we start right away, we can catch them. They aren't allowed to come into the valley, you know. It's all been arranged. They've been paid in advance, and they've agreed to take us.
Who made these arrangements?
Lo Tsen.
Lo Tsen?
Yeah, she's coming too.
But she can't. She can't leave Shangri-La.
Well, why, if she wants to go?
Oh, Melanson, the people who live here, they live here to a very advanced age as long as they stay in the valley. If they leave, they grow old very quickly and die almost at once. Lo Tsen is almost 100 years old.
You're crazy. You're absolutely stark, raving crazy. They told me about you at Basco, but I didn't pay any attention. They told me you'd been wounded and never been quite the same since. Oh, Lord Conway, don't be taken in by it like a fool. Come with me now. You might never have another chance.
I sat there with my head in my hands, my thoughts going round and round. Melanson talked on and
after
on.
After all, you're a critical guy. You know better than to believe in fairy tales.
He hammered at my dreams with all his logic, and gradually they began to look a little foolish. Gradually they began to vanish in the merciless light of reason. And the cold wind blew across my soul, and the bleak chill settled within me. And I knew that I would leave Shangri-La.
Well, how could you even suggest such a ridiculous thing about Lo Tsen? She's younger than I am.
Are you in love with Lo Tsen, Melanson?
Of course I am. I'm going to marry her.
You are sure she's young? Inside, I mean.
I'm as sure of that as I am about myself.
All right, then. Let us make our preparations. I will go with you. An hour later, we paused at the cliff for our last look at Shangri-La. I stood there, looking down, wondering why the scattered roofs looked as though they were floating in a haze. And then I realized there was crying, and that my heart was heavy with sadness and a dark sense of impending disaster. I remember walking, stumbling, climbing, mountain after mountain. Melanson and several of the porters who were far ahead let out a terrible, desperate, clawing scream and disappeared into the abyss that yawned darkly below us. And then I remember putting my arm around Lo Tsen and walking on with her into the gale. And then I remember nothing. The next I knew, I was in a hospital in Chongqing. There was a doctor bending over me.
Lie still. You've been very ill. You mustn't overexert yourself.
How did I get here?
A woman brought you.
A woman? Where is she? Is she all right?
She died less than an hour after she brought you here. She was ill of the fever herself. And of course, she was so very old, she didn't have a chance of surviving.
She was old?
She was the oldest person I have ever seen in my life.
And then I knew. Then I knew that all that had been told me at Shangri-La was true. And my heart ached for little Lo Tsen and Melanson, who would not believe. As soon as I was able, I started back. I started walking the miles of snow and wind, hunting for a mountain that stood like a tall white cone guarding the entrance to heaven.
Drink a cup of tea with us, stranger. You seem ill and weary.
I'm hunting for a mountain called Karakal. Do you know it?
The Mountain of the Blue Moon? I've heard of it. It's somewhere to the north.
Thank you. A mountain named Karakal.
To the north.
I must reach the mountain of Karakal.
Beyond this range, you will find it.
Karakal. Karakal. Karakal.
You have reached the end of your journey, Mr. Conway.
Mr. Chang. Mr. Chang. I have come a very long and a very weary way this time.
We have been waiting for you.
Lo Tsen is dead.
Yes. You see, no man ever comes to Shangri-La without a sorrow.
And so, at last I was home. Once more I walked up the slopes of Karakal to the top and down the other side. And once more, I came out into the sunshine and looked down upon the lamasery of Shangri-La. And suddenly my weariness slipped from me, and I began to run from sheer joy and exaltation. I ran through the gates, and there was the High Lama, his face radiant, his hands raised in blessing.
Your kingdom welcomes you, my son.
And it was my kingdom and my home. It was the place where I belonged, the place that held peace and beauty for me, and complete contentment. Shangri-La. Every man dreams of a Shangri-La. Not every man is lucky enough to find one.
When she was a little girl, Josephine was the May Queen. She was so pretty, everyone said she'd be married before she was 20. But it didn't happen. Josephine is now 22 and no wedding in view. If she only knew, it's on account of a little breath of trouble. Do you think this breath of trouble, unpleasant breath, is keeping romance away from your door? Well, don't take a chance. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder, in 7 cases out of 10... instantly stops unpleasant breath that originates in the mouth. So use Colgate tooth powder for all it's worth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
In tonight's play, Paul Lucas starred in the role of Hugh Conway. Eric Linden played Malison. Edgar Staley was the High Lama. Lost Horizon by James Hilton was adapted especially for this program by Gene Holloway. The music was composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow, and the entire production was directed by Mark Sloab.
Next week, we will bring you Clifford Odette's dramatic romance, Golden Boy, with Claudia Morgan playing Lorna, the girl who swayed a boy from his chosen profession of music to become a champion in the prize ring.
Hello from Halo.
Halo, everybody, halo. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So halo, everybody, halo. Never use a soap, for soaping dulls your hair. Halo means natural beauty the first time that you use it. You need no lemon rinsing after you use it. So halo, everybody, halo. Halo shampoo, halo.
Until next Tuesday night, when Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance will bring you Golden Boy with Claudia Morgan, this is your host saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.